And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome back. This is No Sleep Till Belmont, your Islanders podcast from The Athletic. Arthur Staple here, talking Islanders with our guest co-host for December, former Islanders coach, former Flyers coach, longtime AHL coach, Scott Gordon. Scott, welcome back.
Good to be back, especially with a few wins.
That's right. We actually have some good news with the Islanders to talk about, which is, I think we had recorded last week. They still hadn't won a game in a month. They won that night in Ottawa. They won their first game in UBS Arena on Saturday, beating the Devils. And the game in between against Nashville, they should have at least gotten a point, probably two. And we'll maybe a little easier to take that horrible loss with the two wins sandwiched around it. But Scott, from what you've seen, we had talked about some positive signs that you saw before these two wins. And are they just kind of continuing to do what the Islanders do, which is, you know, tighten up a little bit defensively and score on their chances when they get them?
Well, I think, you know, when we were talking about that stretch where they were missing players from injuries and COVID, you know, they were obviously had a weaker lineup and, you know, probably playing a lot safer. And whether it was coach's request or the players who called up just trying to, you know, not be the reason why the team lost, you know, as we've seen the lineup get stronger and healthier, you know, we're starting to see more of the things that make the Islanders successful. You know, as I've mentioned in previous weeks, you could see the trend of how they come out of their zone, the confidence plays that they're making through the middle of the ice and how they're attacking in the offensive zone and getting to the net. It's all kind of snowballed for them in a positive way. And now we're, you're starting to see some results. You know, it doesn't seem like much, but the last six games, they're 2-1-3. And when you look at those three overtime and shootout points, those could easily be 2-point games. I mean, you win 3-on-3, you win a shootout. It isn't so much, it's kind of a little bit of luck that's involved in that. And we could be sitting here talking about how they're 5-1. But the bottom line is you want your team to play well in the 60 minutes of hockey, because that's going to trend to bigger things down the road. If your team is able to put together a solid 60 minutes and you can come away from the game feeling good, that's a good sign for your team. And there's a lot of areas that have been a lot better, and not just from a team standpoint, but from an individual standpoint.
Who, you know, I think you kind of look just looking at the score sheet, if you didn't watch the games, you'd say, well, you know, obviously Matthew Barzal is broken out of whatever funk, and it wasn't just his funk, it was everybody's funk during the 11-game winless streak. You know, they've got 12 goals, I think, in the last three games. He might have points, I think, on 7 or 8 of them. Oliver Wahlstrom, in limited minutes, seems to have gotten his scoring confidence back. Those are probably two of the main guys. Is there, outside of those two guys, are you seeing anybody else that's really having kind of an impact to not just offensively, but kind of make the lineup feel more complete?
Well, I mean, obviously Zarnik's not there now, but those three, when they were playing together, they piled up some points. And I think Bellows has 8 points in six games. Walshen has 8 points in six games, and Bellows has 3 points in three games, and Zarnik put up a few points. And, you know, I think the minutes that they were starting to get is having an impact on their confidence, and obviously to get some results. I thought Walshen was terrific in the last game. And so to be able to get some secondary scoring is obviously helpful. And then, you know, obviously if he comes back in the lineup and you see the importance of his net front presence on the power play, you know, picking up some points there. You know, the play of Dobson, we talked about him. The thing for me that was really impressive about Dobson is that play that they scored the winning goal in Nashville. You know, that's something, and I don't know how many games he's played in Bridgeport and his experience as a pro, But that's probably one of those things that will be etched in his memory for a long time. And he probably wouldn't do that play just, you know, kind of blindly rimming it around the boards last minute. You know, your options there, you know, with experience, you know, you can eat it, you can reverse it to your partner, you can pop it to the middle if there's time and space. But the one option you want to stay away from is obviously giving it to the team with the uncertainty of what the end result is going to be as you throw it around the boards. And for me, the best takeaway on that is the fact that he's come back and played strong. He had a really good game, I thought, against New Jersey. And, you know, it's a little bit of maturity there as far as being able to handle that. And that was good to see. So, and then, you know, Parise, like, you know, it's funny, you watch him and how hard he works. Like he changes, he skates harder to the bench than some players skate their entire shift. And, you know, that's a credit to him to be able to battle the adversity of not being able to score. Thank God he got that first goal, because I'm sure if he didn't get that first goal, he would have been killing himself on that empty netter that he missed. But it's, I think that's also a positive sign, because he has been doing a lot of things that have had a positive impact in the game, whether it's his presence and his work ethic. He scored that shorthanded goal. He's been doing, you know, for me, a pretty good job in the penalty killing. And I don't even know that how much he did that in Minnesota. I don't recall him doing it in New Jersey. So that's something that he's been able to expand his role with the Islanders and at least have some come away from the games feeling like he's making a contribution when he isn't scoring. And then, something that probably doesn't get a lot of talk, but, how about Chara with back-to-back fights? You know, here's a guy who's 44 years old.
44.
Yeah, like you could, you know, I don't think that's usually something you're doing when you're younger, and here he is, you know, basically sending a message to the team that the opponent that you're not going to take advantage of our guys. And I think it also sends a message to his team that, we're not going to get pushed around. You know, I think it certainly brings a lot of respect to the team and how to play the game. And, I'm sure it's a big morale booster on the bench.
Yeah. And just, when you see Yakov Trenin in that Nashville game skating off with blood all over the inside of his shield too, I'm just kind of thinking like he's not just fighting to kind of tie a guy up and make a statement. He can still throw him too. So that's something. Yeah. It's, it does seem, and it's, I guess it makes sense considering they've got almost everybody back now, except Ryan Pulock, that the pieces are in the right place. And if there's a team that's succeeded more on team, pieces being in the right place and a full team effort in the last few years, that's, it's the Islanders that really have kind of epitomized that. And I think last game, even though there was definitely a little bit of rust with Casey Cizikas and Brock Nelson, having those two guys back and kind of ordering things down the middle and not having to have people out of position, how much as a coach, when you have the lineup, the consistency of the lineup that the Islanders have had the last couple of years, when you're missing guys who eat up a lot of minutes, who take a lot of key faceoffs like those two guys, how much of a load off your mind is it to just have them back?
I mean, obviously you have to have solid goaltending and a solid D core, but when you have centers that are responsible, that support the puck coming out of your zone, that have the ability to break out, there's a whole different confidence that your team can play with, because you're just, things get a little bit easier. We saw when the first show that I came on with you, like there had been some struggles because those guys were out, and to get those guys back, the strength up the middle of the ice, everything's a little bit cleaner. And, whether it's winning a faceoff to start with the puck, whether it's how you come out of your zone, defending, those two guys are pretty responsible, and that's hard to replace. You can't just, say, hey, I'm going to take a winger and put them in the middle of the ice and expect to get the same results. And, we're seeing now how much everything, for me, it looks easier for the Islanders because of the fact that they got those guys back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Now we were talking about the players the Islanders have back and how much that's impacted their play in a positive way. One regular who is out against New Jersey and may in fact be out tonight when the Islanders play in Detroit is Anthony Beauvillier. And that's certainly a bit of a surprise. Guy who's been a mainstay in their lineup for the last 5+ years, been a real important contributor for them in the playoffs. He had no points in the previous 13 games. And I think there was a specific play in that Nashville loss where he was kind of net front in the offensive zone. Nashville turned the puck over, went the other way, and he, instead of hustling back to cover one of the trailers on the play, went for a change. And the player that he should have been covering, Matt Benning, took a shot that rebound produced a tying goal for Nashville, and Beauvillier didn't play very much after that and then was benched. And Barry Trotz has been pretty succinct in his feelings about that, and I imagine it has a lot to do with the stress of the start that they've had and the need to rely on veterans, even young veterans like Beauvillier. And what you can't have is lack of attention to detail and focus and effort, even if you're not producing. Scott, when you have a situation where you have a key core guy, especially a young guy that you decide to sit out, how do you have to approach that? You've done it, I'm sure, many times in your career, especially at the AHL level, where you've got high level prospects who are not necessarily paying attention to the details that they need to pay attention to, and it's a difficult decision, and a lot of people notice it because when you're not winning, fans certainly feel like you need your best players or your most skilled guys or your most promising guys. So it's not always the most popular decision either, and it's definitely not been with Islander fans to sit Beauvillier. So from your perspective, when you see a guy like that sit out, what comes to your mind and how do you kind of handle the run-up and how do you handle the fallout?
So we've got two situations where you have Beauvillier who's getting, you could easily say he's getting benched for lack of production. And then you got Zach Parise that hasn't had any production offensively. Right. But the one thing about Zach is there's been no change in the way he plays. You know, he's even the broadcasters are saying, like, you know what you're going to get from the coaches, you know, love his work ethic. And that's been a constant. So, you know, as a coach, sometimes you can live with the lack of production. But when you have a player that, makes a decision to not backcheck all the way and then make a change, you know, he's kind of getting a little woe is me attitude, and you know, things aren't going my way, and I'm just gonna, it's not a big deal here, I'll just go make my change and let somebody else deal with the issue. And I think that's the thing that obviously I think it's 12 games that he hasn't had a point. Barry was willing to let that go, and not think that we need to take you out of the lineup because you're not producing. But the lack of effort is something that he can't tolerate, because if he starts doing that, then it becomes an infectious thing where you can get away with that stuff. All of a sudden, that's going to snowball. So obviously, it's now it's at the point where, okay, how is he going to respond? And I think that if he should get back in the lineup tonight, there won't be any situations like that, because like I said last week, I was impressed with his play in the games that I watched. There was more to him than I realized. I'm not watching it as tightly as maybe Barry is, but that's something that hopefully is a learning experience. And he's still a young player. What's he, 23?
24.
So, you know, like he's starting to, you know, build a resume for himself as far and getting some clout within the team as far as, you know, where he is in the lineup and all that. But at the end of the day, you still got to earn your stripes. And, you know, hopefully this is a learning experience for him, and, you know, he'll play tonight and not have to look back.
Now, what, you know, there's a perception with Barry Trotz, and it's been said a lot through, I think, mostly the stop in Washington and his stop here in Nashville was a different animal just because it was an expansion team, that perhaps he has a preference for the veterans that he trusts, even veterans like Parise, who never played for him, over young guys like Beauvillier. And, you know, we say Beauvillier's a young guy. He's, you know, almost 500 NHL games, all with the Islanders. So they certainly know what they have in him. You know, Barry Trotz didn't get to be Barry Trotz. You didn't get to your level of coaching for all these years, listening to advice from anybody else on the outside, maybe your wife on occasion, but probably not anybody else. You know, when you hear that kind of stuff, do you ever take it to heart when people, when there's, whether it's fans or there's whispers, whether agents, whoever, start saying like, I don't know, this guy has actually, this coach has this reputation for doing this. Is it ever a feeling of, you know, like, well, I can show them. I don't do that all the time or get defensive or whatever. Is it just, you just can't listen to any of the noise from the outside?
I think you ultimately have to do what you think's best for the team. And, you know, in this case right here, I mean, Barry obviously has a lot more experience than I do. And I think that when it's all said and done, you know, you're benching a guy because of a lack of effort. And I think from a fan standpoint, a lot of times if you're watching the game at home, you can't see the details that might be lacking in a player's game. You just see, you know, what you think are his, that particular player's, you know, strengths. And you see the hustle in situations on the forecheck or, you know, getting shots or whatever it might be, but you don't see that back check on the TV, or you might not be watching the guy making the change and all you're seeing is the goal going in. And, you know, so as a coach, like I'm sure Barry says to himself, we're a better team with Beauvillier in the lineup, but we're not a better team if we've got Beauvillier in the lineup and he's not competing and working. So when you go to make that decision, you're doing what's right for the team and also for the player. And I think that's the thing that the fans, you know, might not necessarily look at as much in depth as the coach does. And, you know, it's not going to be a long-term thing. I mean, I don't know the kid, but I, you know, from what my take on him is he's a character guy and, you know, for the most part works hard, and I've seen him work hard. And, you know, I think this is one of those things that, you know, he gets back in the lineup. I think when you have a motor like that, you're able to get back to it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a learning experience, but sometimes you have to have those learning moments.
Now, another coaching decision that's been questioned, even by me on Twitter, because I post stupid stuff on Twitter all the time, as you well know. Oliver Wahlstrom, as you mentioned, you know, piling up the points in these three games, a big driver of the offense, not just with his goals. He had a nice one against Ottawa, but he's starting to develop a little bit more ice awareness, made a really nice play to JG Pageau for the you know, the two-goal cushion goal against the Devils on Saturday after forcing a turnover and the Devils were coming out of the zone. Just a good play all around. Now, Wahlstrom is one of the lowest ice time guys among their forwards. Even during the 11-game winless streak, he was basically playing a fourth-line role, mostly with the guys that had been called up, whether it was Andy Andrioff, Otto Koivula, those guys. And as you mentioned, he was, you know, had kind of a makeshift third line with Austin Zarnik and Kiefer Bellows that caught fire for a few games and played really well. But he hasn't seemed to really break through in terms of five-on-five time. When you've got a guy who's producing like that and you still want to balance, you know, he's 21 years old. He's a high draft pick. He's a guy you want to have around in your lineup for a long, long time. And you have to balance as a coach his obvious skill and the results that you're getting with making sure that he's doing the things every shift, consistency, effort, focus, all those other things that sometimes slip a little bit in a young guy's game. But you're also resisting the call from everybody to say, play this kid more because he's scoring a lot. You know, how do you balance that? And that's a, you know, that's a difficult one, especially when you're trying to win games.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of, when it's his turn to go for a shift, they take a penalty and you're not killing penalties. So you lose some ice time there. And then the rotation of the way the forwards come through on the penalty kill, sometimes your line mates are killing a penalty. So your line might not be up. And there can be a stretch of almost, you know, before the penalty, you might not have been on the ice for 2 minutes. You get the penalty for 2 minutes and then the following 2 minutes. So 6 minutes can go by very, very easily if you're not in the mix or the timing of the line changes doesn't work to your advantage. And, you know, obviously he plays on the power play, but if you're playing a game where you're not getting any power plays and if you're playing on the second unit, usually you don't get a lot of PP time anyway. But I think it's more of that, you know, he played, I think it was against Chicago. He played quite a bit. I think it was almost 17 minutes. And, the last two games have been a little bit lower minutes, but I doubt very much it has anything to do with consistency and more of circumstances. So the biggest thing is he's got to keep doing what he's doing. And the more he does the things that he's been able to do in the last six games where he's gotten his 8 points, he's going to keep building trust with Barry. And that in itself is going to get him maybe some opportunities where, the guy goes down, maybe he gets double shifted or plays with a line that's going to be up after a penalty kill, get spotted in with some different people just to get those minutes up. But, I think it's pretty encouraging that through all this, the struggles that they had prior to getting back to Belmont, he's been able to prop himself up and get some points and, show that he can be a contributor to the team.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
So we've covered some good ground here, and the Islanders get back on the ice tonight in Detroit. They were just there about 10 days ago, overtime loss. Ilya Sorokin played in that game, gave up 4 goals. I don't think he's given up 4 since. And he's been in net for all 7 Islander wins this season. Semyon Varlamov has been back for a few weeks now, still hasn't won a game, and Barry Trotz indicated yesterday in his media session that it's probably not going to be a 50-50 split. They really have to go with the hot hand, and Ilya Sorokin has the hot hand right now. And Scott, goalies are, you were a goalie. You know how infamously difficult they can be to predict and read and handle. You've got two guys here who have, one in Semyon Varlamov who's got lots of experience and carried the Islanders really to 2 consecutive semifinals. And then Ilya Sorokin, who's getting more experience in the NHL and has been pretty steady this year. When you go from 1A, 1B to saying in the middle of the season, well, now we got to just go with the guy who's playing well because we need points. Are you do you lean more on goalie coach? Do you try to keep yourself at a distance, I think, from the goalies? You know, it seems like that in the NHL, that's the way coaches want to handle it. They have the goalie coaches. They want to keep a lot of the responsibility for reading the temperature of the goalie room to the goalie coaches. Is that kind of the way it started to become these days?
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously more dialogue with the goalie coaches as far as, what they're going through at the time, their thoughts as far as, how they're playing in practice and, what they see in the game and as a coach, you relay, well, I got these concerns or I like, X, Y, and Z of what he's doing in the game. And, I'm thinking about going with, one guy, 2 out of every 3. Obviously this is a situation where Sorokin, you know, he's got the last two wins they had. I think he told me that he's got all their wins. And, you know, maybe it's a time now where, okay, we've kind of been alternating, but let's see if we can get the hot hand going a little more frequently. And, you know, this still, you know, anytime there's back-to-back, like they have a back-to-back December 19th and 20th, you know, he's going to get in there, Varlamov, and then the 29th and the 30th, you got another back-to-back. So, you know, looking at the schedule, you know, you're still getting in, you're still getting your other guy in at least once a week. And, you know, it's up to that guy, obviously, to step up and play a little bit better and get some results. But, you know, certainly there comes a point where, you know, one guy is giving you a little bit more and you want to try to maximize your opportunity to take advantage of his performance and confidence of the way he's playing.
When you were coming up as a goalie in the Quebec Nordiques organization, which when you got to the NHL level was not a successful team, I think is a generous way to put it. Were goalie coaches as important? I mean, I know it's become more specialized over the years, but you know, between your time playing and your time coaching, where did you see the kind of the shift in relying more on goalie coaches, not just at the NHL level, but throughout the organization? Where did that start to change from your opinion?
The first goalie coach I had in Quebec that actually, you know, you could say he was giving you information to make you better and working on technique and understanding the position was Dan Bouchard. Mm-hmm. And, he was talking about tracking before, you know, it was almost like a decade before I heard anybody else even talk about tracking. And, so that was my first exposure to it. But, I don't recall, I mean, when I came to the Islanders, you know, we had, Sudsy and, Mike Dunham. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, when I was with Boston, Bobby Asenza, who came in probably, I would say 3 or 4 years before I got to the Islanders. But, you know, we're looking at 2000, like, I don't even know that minimal amount of goalie coaching. Mm-hmm. And now it's like every organization has a guy in the NHL, a guy in the American League. You got, you know, sometimes you got guys that are just going around evaluating or going to work with the junior guys. So there's a lot of depth in goalie coaching throughout hockey now, and every goaltender has some guy that they're working with during the summer. And it's really become a technical position that because it is so technical, you need somebody that's watching you and making sure that your technique is in place. Just watching Sorokin, I've been really impressed. Like every save he makes looks the same. Like it's, mm-hmm. you know, so obviously, you know, whoever's working with him on a day-to-day basis, you know, during the summer, he looks like the same guy on every single shot. Like if it goes in, it's almost like it's an accident. I've been really impressed with the way he's played. I'll tell you a funny story though. When I was in college, I had an older guy that was our goalie coach, and he wasn't around that much. Really nice man. He actually was on the team when Boston College won their first NCAA championship. And I don't even remember the years. I want to say it was like maybe in the 40s, 50s.
Wow.
So anyway, he was the goalie coach, and he used to work at a drugstore. He'd come straight from the drugstore. He'd throw on his skates. He had his knit slacks on, his tie, and he'd be standing off the side. And, you know, he just was kind of a really nice guy, just kind of cheering you on, you know, keep working. And so, because he was older, he didn't have a lot of ability to skate. So he would do a warm-up drill with me where we would work on skate saves. And he would get down on his knees and slide the puck with his hands. So Bobby Sweeney, who was on my team, every time the goalie coach wasn't there, he would come up and practice and get the pucks and get down on his knees and start sliding the pucks at me to make my skate saves, get me warmed up. So that's how far it's come, because you know, like there was minimal amount of coaching when I played the position, and now it's, you know, it's almost like each goalie has their guy that they've trusted and worked with and basically allowed them to be able to play at the level that they play at.
Do you find goalies to be a little bit fussier now than they were when you were playing?
I think they used to say if you were a goalie, you were crazy, like there was something wrong with you. And now most goalies they're as normal as you could possibly imagine. There's not that wild thing anymore about the goaltender that they used to be back in the day. And I think that you have to be strong mentally now, because there's the pressure that the goalies play with now, having to give up pretty much less than two goals a game for the team to be successful. I remember my third year in the American Hockey League, I was third in the league in goals against average, and it was 3.3. and I think about what the pressure would be to have to play consistently, giving up two goals or less. I can't even imagine that. It was nice to know if I let in three goals in a game, chances are we're going to win. There's a lot less pressure under those circumstances. So it's a tough position, and you have to be tough mentally because the players are so much better now, and their ability to shoot the puck and how hard it comes at you. Everybody could shoot the puck and score.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot different now, and I can certainly see why being a goalie coach didn't always appeal back in the day when you started coaching. So it certainly makes sense to me. But it's a specialized group. But in any event, this has been, as always, great stuff talking about the Islanders finally winning some games, how you bench a guy, how you manage goalies. Scott Gordon, as always, this has been great. The insights are amazing. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Arthur.
And thanks, everybody, for listening to No Sleep Till Belmont. You can follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Leave a rating and review if you're enjoying the show. It really helps us out. You can subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. Start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. And right now, annual subscriptions to The Athletic are just $3.99 a month. When you visit theathletic.com/nosleeptillbelmont. I'm Arthur Staples. Scott Gordon will be back next week. Maybe some more Islanders wins to talk about. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.